Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Psychotronic Underground. I am your host, Lise. Becky, I looked at you.
Wait, can we just like determine an order? Hold on. We're going to start over. Like, what's the order? Are we just going to always just go counterclockwise?
Well, the first one we did Lise Cooper and then Becky.
Which I don't know why we did that. Because it should
Cooper
have been
wants to be I like last. Being last.
I like being last.
Fine.
I was always the one in the back of the room. Let me be in the back of the room.
All right, fine. You don't have
we
a
were
face.
All in the back of the room.
Okay.
Are we all good? Mm-hmm. Are we all good? Okay. Hello, freaks and geeks, and welcome to another episode of Psychotronic Underground. I'm Lise.
I'm Cooper.
And I'm Becky.
And this week on our episode, we have the movies From Beyond and Society. So, from the Psychotronic Video Guide by Michael J. Weldon, From Beyond by Vestron, 1986, after the gross-out hit Reanimator, Gordon reassembled some of the same cast for another wild movie based on Lovecraft. It's a daring mixture of horror, science fiction, and S&M sex. A sonic resonator is created by the brilliant and deranged Dr. Pretorius, Ted Sorrell, who wants to see more than any man has ever seen. He unleashes 4D demons and becomes a mutated creature who can be seen only by someone who has developed a third eye. Jeffrey Combs has one, a pineal gland sticking out of his forehead. With the very sexy Barbara Crampton, Ken Foree, and Carolyn Purdy Gordon, parts of the film are amazing, but some of the special effects are shown too long and look kind of rubbery. It was shot in Rome and cut for an R rating in the U.S. The Richard Band soundtrack is on Enigma.
Further details of From Beyond include it was directed by Stuart Gordon. It was produced by Michael Avery and Charles Band. It was released on October 24th, 1986. It was written by, I believe this was mentioned in the review, it was written by Brian Yuzna and Stuart Gordon, but also by Dennis Paoli. And it's based off of the universe of H.P. Lovecraft. The budget was $4.5 million, so it's a little bit higher than what one might consider for its time a low-budget movie, but it still definitely kind of falls within that theme or that category. But unfortunately, it only grossed $1.26 million, so it definitely didn't even make anywhere near the cost of the film. And lastly, the special effects were done by Anthony Dublin, John Beekler, and Mark Sjostrom.
Awesome.
Why were you smiling?
I don't know.
Okay, that's interesting because I have a fact here that said they filmed it in Italy because it cost them only $2.5 million, whereas if they would have done it in the U.S., it would have cost 15.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I get my details off of like the first page of Google. So
I don't know. I just know that in Italy, nobody had, there's no word for like beyond. So people would come up to Stuart Gordon, ask him, Mr. Gordon, why is it from behind? Which is funny because this movie is so focused on sex.
Yeah.
It's from a behind.
From behind.
Maestro, why is it from a behind?
From behind.
All right. Our other movie is going to be Society, 1989. Yuzna made this before his Bride of Reanimator. It's very anti-establishment, deals with conspiracies, and has some plot similarities to the same year's Parents. Billy Warlock from Baywatch and Days of Our Lives stars as Beverly Hills teen William Whitney. A friend has a tape of his rich parents talking about orgies with his sister at her coming out party. He becomes paranoid, with good reason, and gives the tape to his shrink. Screaming Mad George created the effects for the surreal and disturbing, also silly and awkward, cannibal orgy scenes in which a person is pulled inside out. Society doesn't really work that well, neither did Parents, but they'll be revived someday as examples of attempts to warn Reagan-era viewers. With Devon DeVasquez from Playboy as girlfriend Clarissa, Patrice Jennings as the sister, Evan Richards, Ben Meyerson, Heidi Kozak, Jason Williams, and Tom Renan. 5 minutes were cut out for America. The Japanese Laserdisc is 100 minutes long and uncut.
All right, I have some details here for Society. Society was written by Woody Keith and Rick Fry, produced by Chiesa Carbata, Terry Ogisu, and Paul White, and edited by Peter Teschner. I apologize if I butchered those names. Music was by Mark Ryder and Phil Davies, with special effects by none other than Screaming Mad George. It was released June 11th, 1992, with a budget of $2 million. We don't have any information on the gross, though.
It's really gross.
Other than that, yeah, if you want a gross film, that's it.
So these two movies, for some background, are the reason we have movie night and the reason Psychotronic Underground exists. So I thought that was kind of worth mentioning. One of you guys wanted to watch Society, which I had never seen.
Me. And I've never seen either of them.
Well, and then I realized Brian Yuzna was in it
as
the director of Society. And I was like, no, we got to watch From Beyond because this is like its spiritual ancestor. And it is.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at the way the special effects kind of all come together.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these movies are very heavily invested on their special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming Mad George is, of course, renowned for how good and how gross some of his stuff is. Everything is slime, which is fantastic. Stuart Gordon talks about they chose to do slime in From Beyond because they didn't have to worry about the blood.
Yep.
And they thought that. And they thought that they would have an easier time with an R rating. Hot jokes on that.
Okay.
There's no blood.
Yeah, no, it's just sticky.
It's fine.
We're still going to have Crawford's pineal gland. Pineal gland? There's a lot of mispronunciations in this movie.
Pineal.
Yeah. Schizophrenia, how do they say
Schizophrenia.
It?
Schizophrenia.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's another pervading, pervading theme.
Which is interesting why they mispronounce that stuff, because they actually had like medical... like people come in and actually like consult with them to make sure they were doing things correctly, but like you didn't make
sure. Did they though?
You were, I mean, that's what IMDb said, so.
No, I mean,
you just can't pronounce
again,
schizophrenia
also,
or
they were in Italy, so they were in Italy, so it is possible that maybe, you know, and everybody pronounces everything kind of differently as well. I mean, we're apparently we have Midwestern accents. I don't hear it, but we do.
Yeah.
So we probably
every
like,
time you bring it up and then you do that, you sound more Midwestern than
you've
ever sounded before.
Yeah, no. Can we say bag? Everybody say bag.
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 Bagel. Yeah, I get shit out about that all the time.
It's bag. Yeah. That's what I said.
I'm like,
bag.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like I'm begging for something when the way you want me to say bag.
Oh my God, we're so far off track right now.
Anyway, shit.
Did you guys forget where we were going?
Yeah.
I tried to segue.
I did find the actual fact, though, according to IMDb, that they had medical advisors be sure that the actions taken by doctors and nurses of the film were
proper
medical.
Oh, so for, like, her electroshock thing. These are the worst doctors and nurses to ever exist.
Absolutely.
Both of these. Okay,
so did they find budget doctors and nurses?
Again, Italian doctors and nurses.
Oh, rude. We're going to get canceled by Italy.
Damn it. Hey,
do
my
we
friend
have fans in Italy?
If you, over there.
Fans, if you're in Italy,
let
send
us
a pizza.
Oh my God.
How your wine. That's,
we'll get a Patreon going and pay for us to get actual good Italian pizza.
Have you guys ever had? You could go to Chicago for good Italian pizza.
I know,
it's
but they'll
right
pay
there.
For it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh. Okay.
But if
anyway.
They donate to Patreon, we can still go to Chicago for them.
Jesus Christ. You're going to end up with so much editing.
I know.
To do.
Okay. So.
We were talking about the special effects.
Yes.
And yep, I'm waiting for you to interject.
Bag. Okay.
Oh my God.
So, so in From Beyond, the special effects you see immediately. When he turns on the resonator, you see these computer generated images of like eels and everything like that. And they kind of like attack Crawford a little bit.
Let me stop you. They're not computer generated. All of the special
edited though, it's not like it's right
so
there.
It's not, but it's not CGI.
Well, that I shouldn't have said that because it's
so these are all
too earlier.
Both of these movies use practical effects. This is the time before CGI. I know I just interrupted you, but I think it's a Beekler effect, and I think they do them in water, and they do high contrast lights. So that they show up like that, and then they just sort of like lay it over the top later in post-production.
Right. Yeah. So it's a post-production edited special effect. That's kind of what I meant. And a lot of people would look at it and be like, that's CGI.
Yeah. I think it it looks
CGI,
really good.
But
I know because they probably didn't use any computers. But I mean, like the effect that it appears as. It's not like they have a puppet of an eel.
Okay.
In the scene. That's kind of where I was going. I didn't know what else to call it.
That's okay. I'm a stickler.
Something technology generated.
Sure.
Not. Yeah,
it's like it's like, you know, mirrors or something.
It's like mirrors or something.
That's that one. Like Poltergeist is all is an unrelated movie, but Poltergeist does the same sort of effect with the monster that comes out of like the doorway.
With real skeletons.
So gross.
Donate your body to science. They said it would be fun. They said
they said it would be fun.
Yeah, don't,
it would be fun, they said. Let's start over. I lost my thought. Okay, so the special effects in From Beyond kind of start immediately where you have this CGI, though I've been corrected, CGI looking special effect of like a post-production overlay of an image of these eels, or they're not eels, but they're like some sort of eel creature in the air after Crawford turns on the resonator. And you see them later. You see other types of what the review said four-dimensional creatures from this alternative dimension. And then you get more into different kind of special effects, such as when Dr. Pretorius, Crawford kind of like sinks his fingers into his shoulder.
He's so gooey. Everything it's in this movie gross. Is so gooey.
Wasn't he also a little slimy just coming out right off the bat?
Yes. So the whole idea that Stuart Gordon is like working with this character of Pretorius, which... I feel like giving him that name, you're already setting him up to be like a monster, the way sort of Septimus Pretorius and Bride of Frankenstein, which is like where Edward Pretorius's name comes from.
English is hard.
It's not English. It's fucking Latin. Pretorius? That shit's Greek or something. I rest my case.
I was just saying words.
But you sort of set him up to be monstrous by giving him this sort of legacy to carry on. But also you make him sort of like, I don't know, it definitely sets it up for like a sexy subversiveness. Because the Pretorius character is like specifically queer in Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, like overtly queer or was at the time. Like it was known that, oh yeah, that's definitely a queer character. And so you've named Edward Pretorius with the same name and you've made him sort of this monstrous character. And he is. He sort of shows up. I mean, he dies at the beginning of the movie and we get a really great head twisted off special effect. But when he comes back, he's supposed to be combined with the like monster that's in the beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Crawford touches him, he's already slimy because he's of the beyond now. Mm-hmm. And everything in the beyond is slimy. Everything is sticky. And when Crawford touches him, his hand sort of sinks into his shoulder. And then Pretorius peels off his face. And you get, like, this really great... Stuart Gordon said that the idea was, like, he was supposed to turn inside out because a human being is pretty much just a tube.
Ew.
Yeah, but anyways.
And so
I could get into medical parts of it, but I won't.
I mean, is it kinky? Because this would be the podcast for it.
No. Continue.
But so he's supposed to like sort of turn himself inside out and you end up with these like stretched hands and this really great sort of spooky special effect. Lots of laughing, lots of goo everywhere, which is awesome because you sort of see similar effects in society where everything sort of stretches and goos. I mean,
gooey and slimy and people like, morphing like, into each other.
One of the reasons we chose to do these two together like this is because, like I said,
makes sense.
Society is like the spiritual descendant of From Beyond. You even end up with like a weird hand thing going into both of them. So like Pretorius shoots these really gross fingers out to go get at Barbara Crampton, because of course he does. She's the obvious target. And then later in society, you see the guy turns his whole head into a hand, which is a great special effect. And then it like mirrors the hand that comes out to get Whitney. And so it's a lot of this goo. I feel like they're lit very similarly in those scenes too, like From Beyond's very pink and Society's very red.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely those warm, sexy tones. These movies are the sexy movies. Mm-hmm. And they sort of overdo it with the goo and the sauce.
Oh my god,
it's so much sauce.
I don't want to think about sauce.
Moist.
Stop. We're not going there.
I mean,
but yeah, so I mean, the special effects in From Beyond, you have those overlaid images, and then you have the more physical, interactive special effects. And then as Pretorius slowly develops into this, like almost like this other creature from beyond.
It's called a Shoggoth. I couldn't help myself.
Those are the type of special effects. And they're very, at least when you get into the Shoggoth type of special effect, it has a lot of similarity to the special effects of Society.
It's because they're practical.
Yeah. Well, I'll say I think Society definitely has a lot more practical effects and much more or really heavy on the body horror. Even from the beginning where his sister, he's zipping up her dress and you see like her back kind of like do a weird thing, which when you were talking about earlier was the same like effect for the pineal gland in
on Jeffrey Combs' face. Just sort of this throbbing. It's sort of like a bladder underneath like a prosthetic, and then you just pump it full of air and it like throbs all gross.
Ugh. Yummy.
I wish more movies nowadays would get into practical effects like this, because I know the review said that they didn't really work or they weren't really that successful, but I feel like that's not true. We wouldn't be talking about these movies if their special effects had sucked so hard.
Yeah, I mean, like in Society, he goes into the therapist's office, he bites the apple, and then you see all the worms in the apple. Like, there's so many instances in that movie where I don't feel like they were bad. I feel like they were good. Appropriate. I don't know. I mean, it was made obviously really extreme for a reason. I mean, because they were being almost satirical in a way. And
Both of these movies want to be subversive in their like portrayal. Like From Beyond does it with science and Society does it with class.
Yep.
And there's sort of these hidden narratives in it
where like the rich eat the poor.
Right.
Literally.
They absorb them. They're a different class, a different race even, is what they mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even, you're not even the same race as we are.
We are, yeah. Which makes you, like, kind of question, like, because, again, they don't really, other than that one or two lines of, like, you know, like, we've always been here. Like, I think doesn't, like, Whitney think that they're aliens or something?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, we're not. We've always been here. So then it's almost like it kind of, what I think is enjoyable about that, kind of getting into the science aspect. I know that wasn't the focus, but as a viewer, it's kind of like, okay, so are they also human with special abilities and that's what raised, like, brought them to another tier of class? Is it evolutionary? Are they completely different race, but because they mimic humans, they're considered a human? Like, if we really looked at their DNA, would they be a Homo sapien or would they be something else?
Yeah.
So I think that's really kind of cool. I know that, like, sometimes people get irritated when a question isn't answered in a movie, but sometimes, like, little things like that, I almost enjoy not having answers because you yourself can kind of develop that background of, like, okay, what are they?
But then I'm like, but I want to know.
Yeah. But I think that's also, like, another really great parallel to both of these movies is that these things are there that you don't see.
Yeah, they're always there.
And they're in the air, and they're
invisible.
Fill it, you know?
Yeah, like they're invisible. So those things that you see in From Beyond are only there. You can only see them. They're probably always there, but you can
interact with them.
See them. Yeah, when your pineal gland is being stimulated like that with that machine's on in Society.
The resonator.
Yeah, the resonator.
And in Society, you only see them when they're about to eat you.
Yeah. They're hidden but not hidden at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Right. No, I think, like you said, they're invisible. It's not that they aren't there. They're always there.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching you. They know that, you know, and in From Beyond, the monsters can't really interact with you unless you're under the effect of the resonator. But in Society, they exist around you and they are very aware that where they are and where you are, and your relationship to them,
and you're
definitely the prey. They're looking for you. But again, it's sort of this thing where it's like you don't know the monster is right there in the room with you until you're already being swallowed,
like real life,
swallowed by a giant lamprey, and kicking and screaming. I liked that effect. I thought that was a really good one. The big lamprey monster. I like it because it's goofy.
No, it is, but I mean, just like even just the thought of what happens to Crawford after that.
Yeah. Just suck all of his hair off. There's so many transformations in this movie.
It just sounds so painful. I can't even pluck my own fucking eyebrows, let alone having all of my hair on my head sucked off.
I feel like he was probably fine with the hair being sucked off thing. The pineal gland coming through his forehead that looked like a rough break. But that's another.
Again, oh, yes.
Great special effect. Much phallic imagery because, again, both of these movies are obsessed with sex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least he had
every creature
ending.
That you saw was phallic. The eels and the worm. Mm-hmm.
And Crawford's pineal and gland. And Crawford's pineal
gland. Yeah. His dick was hanging out. Shit.
Pineal, he had a red rocket on his forehead.
Mm-hmm. Ken Forey in the little tiny shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of that these things.
Speedo.
And there's a lot of sex in society. It's pretty much like the whole really? Undertone. Yeah.
I don't remember any sex in society.
Well, and that's the thing. So they didn't really, like, they talked about sex in society a whole lot. Like, the whole thing was about, like, his parents having an orgy with his sister.
Coming of age, and that's kind of, like, what it meant. Like, the coming of age, you have this party, and then everyone, you have to start with someone your own age, and then you can just do it with anybody.
And then, so,
do you think these Field's movies open. Are, like, do you think these movies are trying to tell people, like, this is one of those things where you sort of know it, like, sex that diverts from the norm is sort of like the downfall of society.
But like what constitutes as normal? Isn't that like relative? Like,
you would think so, but I feel like so the From Beyond is particularly concerned with Pretorius's like proclivities.
You make
a point of showing that he's into bondage. You make a point of having Crawford tell us that he doesn't know how to make love. That these women would come to the house and it always devolved into like whipping and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Crawford the cuckold would just lay there and listen to them.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's your villain is somebody who's into bondage. Like that's what is Pretorius's actual like sin other than he likes. And I don't think it's implied that he, you know, rapes these women.
I know.
Consensual partners. Right. So,
but are they really consensual? Because if they're being stimulated in the pineal gland,
but no, this was before he was even stimulated.
Yeah, oh,
this was his
right.
sex
okay.
life before the resonator started working,
oh,
and
that's right.
his inability to like deal,
yeah, with maybe not being able to get it up,
yeah,
no.
or not being able to have a quote unquote normal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Results in him having to build the resonator or wanting to build the resonator so that he can see more, feel more, have greater sensation. And then, of course, oh, it's the greatest sensual pleasure to know the mind of another person. And so I don't know if it's, why would you paint that guy as your villain? And it's the same thing with, like I said, Bride of Frankenstein, where they take the character of Pretorius and they make him overtly queer and they send him to hunt down Dr. Frankenstein and draw him away from his marriage bed to go create life again outside of the norm.
So what does that sound like?
I'll just be over here being super gay and act like I don't know what that's supposed to be warning people against. Because both of these movies are concerned with warning people about the dangers lurking around them. And in From Beyond, the dangers are just some guy who likes bondage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then gets his head eaten off. Like, I feel a little bad for Dr. Pretorius. Then the Shoggoth comes up to, like, wear his face and hunt the rest of the people around. I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not until about halfway through society you realize who the real...
Who the real monsters are?
Monsters are and the danger, like, you kind of suspect and you're just kind of like, well, this is weird and that's peculiar. And that really is odd because you have the main character who's just like, I don't know what to believe for a while because he's being gaslit the whole fucking time. And you don't find that out till a little later. But...
Can we talk about the tones of these movies just real quick? Because I have a real bone to pick with Brian Usna.
All right.
From Beyond starts with your sort of classic Stuart Gordon opening. You know, you get your 8-minute intro in which you sort of establish who your main character is sort of going to be. It's going to be Jeffrey Combs because we love him.
Mm-hmm.
And then something drastic happens. It's terrible. You cut to your credit scene and it's like a drop of maggots that slowly rises up. That to me is a great way to set the tone because I don't understand why the maggots are important. They never come up again other than they're wormy.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get as many wormy, slimy, snaky critters into a movie as possible.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know how the tone of the movie is going to go. Society doesn't have that. Society wants you to feel paranoid about the things surrounding it.
That was literally the whole undertone of the movie. Well, paranoia.
I don't think it was successful, though. Because 5 minutes in, you get a shot of the stretchy, gross, like...
Oh, yeah. In the opening credits? Or
the opening credits. You get the stretchy, gross thing.
Yeah. Granted, the first time I saw it, I had no idea. I think, you know, there was a specific image of, like, a breast. That was a special effect. It wasn't, like, a breast on some woman. But it was like, wow, that looks like a tit. But I wasn't
really... I didn't really know what it was at first.
I didn't know either.
But I knew I was supposed to be disturbed by it.
Yes.
I definitely knew that what I was looking at was something... sticky,
I
something
think society
obviously
was definitely
human.
The shock factor that movie was just made for.
Well, I think it wanted to be shocking, but again, like did. I said, I feel like it set me up to know exactly what I was gonna see at the end of the movie, with the beginning of the movie. And so I already know that Billy Warlock is not paranoid. I know he's right. And so all of the time it spends building his paranoia is wasted on me because I already know that he's right. I already know. Like, when he zips up that dress and he touches
her
back,
that was kind
of
the point where I was like, okay. Like, when.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely. Like very overt how his family reacts around him.
But then I was legitimately confused by some of the other things in the movie that I thought were relevant and then ended up not being fucking relevant.
like the worms?
Clarissa's mom.
Oh, like Clarissa's mom.
Well, no. Like the fucking blow up doll with the. And the fucking Barbie dolls and stuff that would just end up in his
fucking
car.
Fucking Ted put
and
it
And I'm
everywhere.
Thinking it's part of the undertone
or Milo,
of the movie.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then his fucking friend Milo was like, I did that. And I was like, God damn it. I was reading into this thinking this was going to be relative somehow.
I mean,
guess that's something.
I mean, yeah, it ended up not being relative, but it's thrown in there to be like, is he crazy? Is it in his head?
Yeah, that's why it was kind of like the whole thing is like paranoia because you don't find out till like almost the very end that his friend was supposedly behind that because this whole time you have everybody in his life gaslighting him, including his therapist. And like the point that I realized he was being gaslit in society was, I kind of sort of suspected that he was in on it just because the way he was talking and it was weird and his demeanor, the way he was like presenting certain information, but when he brought the tape to, I already didn't trust the guy when he brought the tape.
Oh, absolutely.
His mental health guy,
absolutely.
Or his therapist.
The entire time he's like, no, come back. And I'm like, oh, yep, nope, he's in on it.
And then he's like, I'm gonna leave the tape with him. I'm like, don't do that. You don't know. You don't trust this. Like, don't trust this guy. But he thought he could trust him.
But here's the thing is that we can't trust him because we don't know him. But I think Bill has been under quote unquote his care.
Oh yeah, he's been gaslit, so he thinks that this guy's a trustworthy. This person can be trusted.
Yeah. So
both
these
movies could set a fucking record for the worst mental health care professionals in the world.
Yeah. Barbara Crampton, we looking at you.
Barbara Crampton, I'm looking at you. Dr. Block, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dr.
Block.
Terrible.
Carolyn Purdy Gordon's character is not any better.
No, both sucked in their own ways.
Like
the
police guy
detective was just like, okay, I don't care. Like, let's just, fine, you take him.
I'm like, I don't know who for the fuck
yeah.
this guy.
I believe
that's
I
maybe
I
the real paranoia. The real warning is about mental health care in America.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you start with like, because
electroshock therapy was used until recently.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
It's ridiculous.
I didn't realize it was like lobotomy stopped when.
Not that long ago either.
Yeah. Ugh.
We know that science in general, like there are still things about the body and the brain that we don't know. There's still things about, like, I know this isn't related, but like the ocean we don't know.
There's a lot we don't know.
In the mind.
Yeah.
Crawford, in the mind.
But it's like, it's just one of those things where it is, I don't know. I could go on about this. We're not going to get there. Okay. What were we talking about?
Do we have any like favorite moments from both of these movies that we loved? Things that we thought were really good? I mean, I could go on about my deep and desperate love of Jeffrey Combs and anything and everything forever. But I particularly like the reversal between Barbara Crampton.
Yes.
And Jeffrey Combs in this one versus like Reanimator. Right. I saw Reanimator first. And I think From Beyond was like the fourth or fifth movie I saw in my journey through all of Jeffrey Combs movies, which I've
or even Evil
year.
Clergyman.
Oh yeah,
I feel like was more of an opposite because like Reanimator, Barbara Crampton wasn't really with Jeffrey. No. You know what I mean?
Right. I suppose that's sort of, well, she's supposed to be this sort of victim character in Reanimator.
Right.
You spend the whole movie feeling sorry for her because you know that she's right, that Herbert West is kind of a snot, and it's all going to go blow up in everybody's faces the longer Dan entertains him.
And from beyond, you're just annoyed. You're like, stop it. Why are you doing this? You literally just almost got killed like two other times before
because
this.
She's the mad scientist who now wants to succeed. Yeah. She has more noble reasons. I mean,
they really did flip roles in this movie.
And I hate to admit this. I'm not going to name any names, but I've talked to people and it seems like people in mental health have a lot of their own issues that they just do not see. I know a mental...
It's probably more like they, to ease theirs subconsciously, they're in that to help.
Right.
Others,
or they like
it
literally can't
helps them.
Diagnose themselves. They don't, they just don't see that aspect. They can see it in other people. Like I can diagnose people with Chinese patterns. I can't diagnose myself. Don't ask me why, because I know my body better than you're going to be able to tell me about yours. Still can't diagnose myself. But, like, I just know, like, somebody who worked with mental health patients, like, literally was, like, getting upset because she wasn't having sex with him.
Gross.
Sounds like someone I know. Oh, you're my wife. I'm entitled to it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
And they were
just
friends. They weren't even dating.
Ew.
Ew.
That's and gentlemen, where I'm this like, is and the toxic masculinity we talk about?
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Anyways. So it's like, you know...
I'm assuming it was a man, I guess I should...
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was. But
it just sounded like it.
Well, there might be almost a narcissism to
that, too.
That kind of behavior. So like Barbara Crampton's character is specifically in it to save her father. Every one of these patients is a stand-in for a father she couldn't save, right? We can all agree
and
on that.
And narcissistic people will never see that they are narcissistic because they always believe every single lie. Whatever their reality is what it is, and you can't tell them any different.
Right. So she's convinced she's doing the right thing for these people. Mm-hmm. But even Dr. Block brings up that she's using these people as guinea pigs in her own experiments. Mm-hmm. That's fucked, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if you were doing, like, case studies, but that's not what they say she's doing. Mm-mm. She's a girl wonder who comes up with miracle cures or whatever, and she's gonna solve Crawford's fucking problem.
Yeah.
But
she's like, I could set him free or something like that.
Yeah. We can help him. And then she like makes the whole situation worse. She is, from the word go, a mad scientist. She's just a very different brand than you get to see her. Than you see Jeffrey Combs play in Reanimator, who Herbert West has very few redeeming qualities other than he's hot. But so I would say that's probably my favorite part of From Beyond. Society, I don't know, man. I think I just like watching Brian Usna get to go ham. That guy comes up with some wild shit.
Well, like, and kind of on the mental health thing in society, like when he starts to really catch on to a lot of stuff is when they want to try to admit him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And distort his reality even further because they fake kill him or something. I didn't quite, was that what they were trying to do? Like,
No, I think, so the whole point of that scene is that he's dead, right?
Right.
So when he ends up back at the party, they know he's coming. They know he's going to show up at the party because they've raised him to be this kind of individual. And when he walks in, well, now we can kill you. And you already died.
Yeah, to everyone else. Okay. Yeah. Right. That makes sense. Got it. Yeah.
So that's kind of the deal there, is that they can then eat him freely because they've navigated the system.
I feel like my favorite part of society is probably the grossest part to many was when... Okay. Two parts. One was funny when we got the butt joke when the dad was like, look, son, I guess I really am a butthead after...
you and Brian Usna have the same sense of humor.
And then when Ted and him are fighting and he uses him
the
against
same.
Himself where he turns essentially Ted inside out. So I think that was my favorite.
Yeah,
it was a super gross effect.
It was very gross and very amazing.
I liked the masculinity of that whole deal. Like, the whole conversation between Whitney and Ted through the whole movie is about who's a bigger man, right? And it's super toxic.
Yeah.
But Ted wins because, again, he's part of society. He's above Whitney. And so you see the mayor use that same move to kill Blanchard. Yeah, just right up there and just, like, to pull him in so that everybody can consume him in the shunt. So for Whitney to use that same move to turn Golden Boy Ted inside out, I think was like, what a flex.
Yeah.
Right.
What a big dick moment.
That was really like his only way out of that one.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was getting his ass fucking handed to him before that.
Well, and yeah. And you have to establish that, like, not only can I win, I can win by your rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's why you get to leave, is because you won by their rules. It's a mm-hmm. classic right. kind of attitude.
I mean, and then he got the girl, which it kind of seemed like she was just there because she was part of the class and she didn't really want to be. But. Anyway.
Well, I don't know if you can leave your species behind.
I think she was fine until she started developing feelings for Bill. And then that kind of was like, oh.
Right.
Right.
Maybe not.
You're not supposed to fall in love with the cow. That's she why likes... we don't get to see how cute they are. Oh. You see them here, and then you don't have to see them at the slaughterhouse because then you feel bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. She got to see that cute cow.
She'll pee in your tea.
Hell yeah, she will.
There's some great weird lines like that in both of these movies.
Yes.
So the, because she's so overt, everything about her is about oh my sex. God. Wet but then
dreams,
like
Billy.
Yeah,
he gets
exactly.
out of the pool.
it's
punny too. That's why I like it. They were all punny. So they were all good because of that. Like,
oh yeah, because I guess he was in the pool, yeah. and she says the wet dreams because he's all wet.
So it's
I didn't
not like
get
it was like forced in there.
I fucking didn't get that she was making puns.
Oh my God,
I missed it. I completely missed it.
There were a few in there, yeah.
Yeah, oh I can't God. Remember the other ones off the top of my head.
No, I
I'm
can't
just
either.
Not funny. Sorry, guys.
It's funny. No, it's
terrible puns. Life. Just kidding.
Oh my goodness.
Puns are something I really generally like. The humor of a Stuart Gordon movie is something I usually enjoy, and From Beyond doesn't have that much of it.
Mm-mm.
It's definitely not as funny as Society.
No,
but
it's still
I
good.
Think coming off of Reanimator, Stuart Gordon was like, "No, we make serious movie now." We make serious movies. So serious. And which is funny because when you get to Castle Freak, it's even more serious
oh
than From Beyond.
God.
It's like dour. It's just absolutely dour kind of a movie. So this one is at least pretty and fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, Becky, your turn.
Your
what?
Yeah, what are your favorite moments?
Well, from both?
Mm-hmm. Or I guess if you only have one from one, if you didn't like Society. But yeah, if you
I didn't
one
like
each.
Society. I wanted to like it. I didn't.
I'll be honest, the first time I watched it, I was like, eh, this is pretty fucked. But the more I watch it, I've watched it 3 or 4 times now. I think I like it more each time because I understand more. I don't know. If I watch movies more than once, then I understand more and more every time. But yeah. Becky, what are your favorites?
I don't know. I definitely like the, I don't know. I really enjoyed Milo's character. He wasn't really in it a lot. But he was kind of almost like Bill's tether to reality sometimes, without
a good supporting character.
Yeah. And like Milo wasn't always there. But he was definitely there when he needed to be, and
smarter than he looks too.
Yeah.
He definitely like Clarissa's mom, him and Clarissa's mom yeah. have like a whole little thing
like,
at the end.
Thing. Oh my God. I loved it. Yeah. Like he was more bald. Like Bill's like, oh my God, there's shit going on. And all of a sudden like Milo's like, I forgot Clarissa's last name, but
right.
Smith.
Hair.
Yeah. It's like, no, no. It's like, no, 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 Mrs. Whatever. And then, okay, just stay in the backseat. Like, he's cool with it. He's like, okay, you're yeah. not trying to eat me? Awesome. Just stay quiet. We'll hang out. And then they become best friends. It's hilarious. I loved Milo's character and his supporting role that you don't really get to appreciate. I mean, you get to appreciate, but you don't really notice it right.
Yeah, I liked him too.
Right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then I guess
I definitely liked him more towards the end.
Yeah,
and I was really happy when he saw through the bullshit too. And
yeah,
so he was like you said, Bill's only.
I saw Petri.
Yeah,
leave
yeah,
the fucking
yeah,
thing.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I saw him in the thing.
So and I guess like that could also be reflected in Society. In From Beyond with Ken Forey's
oh yeah
character.
Bubba Brownlee.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't... I mean, obviously, most of the focus is going to be on Crawford and Catherine, and then a little bit on Pretorius when he pops up every once in a while. And Ken's just, like, there to make maybe...
He's your very average guy, because
yeah.
Crawford is sort of already a little bit crazy. He's mm-hmm. a mad scientist in his own right. He's mm-hmm. getting there. He's built a machine with Pretorius.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Barbara Crampton's your other mad scientist, and she's trying to solve schizophrenia
mm-hmm.
and those problems. And so you have, like,
schizophrenia.
Bubba's character exists for the viewer to access.
To
but
relate
also,
to. And,
right,
yeah.
But also he's kind of the tough guy, so that when the situation gets hairy.
No, they both came in and they were almost the heroes in their own way. Milo was able to help Bill get out of the house with Clarissa and Clarissa's mom and everything like that. And then Ken kind of helped Barbara snap out of it.
Yeah.
She obviously didn't fully snap out of it, but snapped out of it enough where she didn't do too much to Crawford. So I guess I enjoyed those characters a lot in both of those movies.
I don't think Ken Foree's performance in this gets enough love because what the people come to this movie, they come to see Barbara Crampton, they come to see Jeffrey Combs. And Ken Foree is an excellent horror movie actor who, like Dawn of the Dead, just an excellent sort of hero character. I wanted him to make it through From Beyond. I really did. I wanted Bubba to live because he was such a likable goddamn guy. But of course, you have to kill that character to show that the situation is serious.
Yeah.
That it's out of everybody's control. Rude.
Yeah.
And to remove that tether. So you get, Milo gets to live. So yeah. Whitney can continue to have a tether to a reality that makes sense. You kill Bubba and now there's nobody to hold
you accountable and
to hold you on the board anymore. Which is sort of disappointing. I do like Ken Voorhees' character in From Beyond. He's quite enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Barbara's
her tits?
Dominatrix outfit.
Sexy dominatrix outfit. She's beautiful.
She's a gorgeous
I feel lady. Like anytime Barbara Crampton's in a movie, we're just gonna have to talk about how what a queen she is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's got a new movie out on Shudder, Jacob's Wife. She's a vampire. It's pretty dope.
Oh my god.
I'll have to watch that.
I'm gonna watch that.
Yeah. Did you know though that she sold that leather dominatrix outfit?
From no.
The movie at a yard sale. And I'm like,
what?
I wish I would have been there.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
I didn't know she sold it at a yard sale.
A fucking yard sale. You know
what's so that outfit was like ooh, handmade. Baby,
where'd you get
for
that
her.
New outfit? Just yeah. Picked it up at a yard sale. What kind of yard sales do you fucking go to?
Oh my god.
Oh man.
That's
yeah,
funny.
That outfit was like handmade. For her,
I like the
you know what? If it was in like Beverly Hills, I wouldn't be surprised. But
well, because you have a lot of
tells me,
oh my god, is it in Paris Hilton's closet now?
Oh my god, I hope so. Let's call her.
Paris. Is this? In
Bring
there?
Your ravioli and let's discuss Barbara Crampton's dominatrix outfit.
A picnic
with Paris.
Oh my god.
Sorry. Spinoff podcast. Let's go.
Yeah, a spinoff podcast. It's just us.
Now she's gonna start a podcast that's Picnic with Paris.
It's all just Picnic with Paris, and it's us reviewing
her cooking show.
I love that.
So we were just talking about the mental health aspect. No, we weren't. We were talking about our favorite parts. That's right.
Yeah. This is a new format, guys. We're trying something new. I know. This is why I wanted to do this one, because this is an easier episode to do this on than doing it on something like Thanksgiving
and Silent Night, Deadly Night. What
Horror.
From which I haven't seen either, but like right off the bat, it's like, what are the themes?
Holiday. Yeah,
that's it.
So I
horror.
Thought right,
and I can't tell you without seeing Silent Night, Deadly Night, which I've never seen. I've seen Thanksgiving once, and it was, if you want to say terrible, you would not be wrong. It's pretty fucking bad. Like it's like you. Like, if it's like we all made our own fucking, I think it was
all like, of these movies are supposed to be a little bit like that,
but like this is like terrible and terrible, like the worst, like it's more terrible than any of the ones we've watched so far.
Velocipaster.
I'm pretty sure it's worse than Velocipaster. It's literally like a bunch of friends.
Did you just say Llamageddon?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Ouija Shark.
Okay, probably not as bad as that one, but I would probably go Ouija Shark then Thanksgiving.
I think it's really fun. How did we hear about Thanksgiving?
So maybe we...
I'm pretty sure... I was going to say me? Follow me. Howard knows about Thanksgiving. Like, I think, like,
I think
if you're
I brought
into
it up
because
I was like, ooh, holidays. We should
B-rated
do Thanksgiving.
Movies, like,
and then
everybody
like,
knows it.
What about Christmas? And we were like, Krampus? No, you were like... Because that's mainstream, I think. Or, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's
and
not...
And then you said Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Right. And actually, I want to do Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 instead of the first one. I want to do the second one, which I do not have. I have... 1, 3, and 4.
Okay, there's more. Oh, apparently, and I'm gonna say this is a fun fact for Thanksgiving, is that there's another one, but they call it Thanksgiving 3 because the turkey didn't want you to see the second one. I don't know, that was their excuse. Oh my God, I don't know. It's fucking stupid, but it's all fucking stupid. But you're just like, I just wasted this much time in my life that I can't get back.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
So it's definitely worse than it's probably on par with Ouija Shark, to be honest.
Ouija Shark was horrific.
There's a turkey fucking a girl and then he cuts her throat.
We gonna have to talk about that. We gonna have to talk about filmmakers who get fucking weird and ridiculous.
It was
for that's maybe something we could talk about. The difference in directorial styles of Stuart Gordon.
How desperate are these people that versus... they want them to watch the movie that would be that? I don't even know a word I want to say. You're going to bring bestiality into it. I mean, what's wrong with you?
I don't feel like that's the worst thing that happens in these movies.
No.
I mean, did you see the one where, like, oh my god, Sky Sharks. Y'all gotta watch Sky Sharks. So Becky, are you playing with your contact lens?
Yes. Okay, so...
real shark movies and talk about the difference between like real like shark movies.
Jaws or what are we talking about?
Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Like, you can talk about
27 meters now.
Yeah. The Shallows. Because like, I feel like The Shallows has got to be a low budget movie. It's a girl on a beach with a, CGI shark. Sipping. How much can it cost?
Yeah. I mean, I figured we were cutting this out. Oh my god,
we're way
anyway.
Off base, yes. Guys.
Yeah.
How did we get off?
Hold on. Because Thanksgiving.
Because, yeah, we're going to have to cut out a lot of that. We just keep getting off on tangents.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
So before we got into what our favorite parts were, we were definitely dipping into mental health a little bit. Special effects. We did kind of mention about sex, especially with From Beyond, all of the phallic imagery and things like that. We didn't really discuss body horror yet. What?
I just wanted to be like, so there's this really ridiculous flag in there.
Flag?
Yeah.
In From Beyond. Yeah.
Where it was just like their sad attempt to get as many phallic images as possible. But it's definitely a don't tread on me flag, which has so many connotations now in later. And I was just like, ha ha. But also, Pretoria's house got a lot of American flags. I don't know. The nationalism is weird. Yeah. But yeah, I love the little... It looks like... So it's a don't tread on me flag with a snake on it. Mm-hmm. But it looks like one of the eels that you get to see. Mm-hmm. So much phallic imagery. It's everywhere. You have to try and... So that could be like a... That should be a drinking game. That's where I was going
every
with
time
this.
You see phallic
there
you go.
Imagery, every time there's a phallic image in From Beyond, you have to take a shot. And by the time you get to Crawford's pineal gland, you're just wasted.
Oh my god. And
you
when...
have to like two or three just for that pineal gland. Or the pineal gland.
Yeah, because you know he has a hard on too, like, because that's mentioned.
Yeah, Ken's like,
I mean, he's got... have a happy
can we talk
ending.
About my hard on?
Barbara Crampton. Yep, you get a shot.
But even when like Pretorius is like plugging the machine back in.
Plug it in. Plug
very
it in.
Phallic.
Yep. Mm. Yep, definitely. It's all the resonator. It's just a big dick. It's got a round head.
It's, yep.
It's just a big dick that lets you
is
see
that why
other dimensions.
Barbara Crampton is obsessed with
it. I mean,
absolutely.
She starts off so repressed with that, like, the glasses.
Well, that's
and the
what I'm saying. I think it almost seemed like the glasses. Time it got turned on, and then she was like, oh, I love this feeling. And then that's why she kept going back for more.
She can't help it.
Even though she almost fucking died.
You see more. Feel more.
See more butts.
Oh my god.
Missy Moore.
That's a good movie. That's another good monster movie. Mm-hmm. We could do that one. Are we going to have a musical episode?
Yes.
That's hilarious. Anyway, I just wanted to jump in there with the eels and phallic imagery and the snake.
So something that we didn't really talk about with special effects was the body horror.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
I mean, we sort of talked about Pretorius peeling his face off. But I think both of these movies do a lot for the genre of body horror in sort of helping to define what that looks like. So later on in our
podcast, I can't say I've seen another movie even close to Society with the amount of body horror.
We sort of did though, and we didn't. Well, and that's maybe it's not close to Society, maybe it's closer to From Beyond.
Okay.
But we all watched Color Out of Space.
Yes.
And you have that moment where the mother and her son get stuck together.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, y'all fucking forgot about how scary that shit got.
Oh my god.
And we're gonna talk about Color Out of Space in its own right later, but I feel like you don't get to Color Out of Space and how good it is just on, like, if you read H.P. Lovecraft, a lot of his stuff is unspeakable terrors, and he doesn't do a lot of descriptive detail of the monsters, because the whole point is that they're unperceivable. Because they will make you crazy if you were to be able to perceive them.
Inconceivable.
Yeah. You know, it's an unspeakable terror. You know, sometimes you'll describe some tentacles and you'll describe some eyeballs and stuff. Everybody knows what Cthulhu looks like. Mm-hmm. The Shoggoth have some movements and stuff like that. But this body horror, as defined by H.P. Lovecraft and then brought to the screen by Stuart Gordon, is just sort of fantastic. And you carry it through. And like I said, I don't feel like you see a lot of... I mean, body horror is everywhere. Like Basket Case. We could talk about Basket Case. Have you guys seen that one yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Basket Case is another body horror because the little dude is freaking freaky.
Mm.
He's like a little gremlin blob monster with like fangs and stuff. And you know what? We're going to have to watch Basket Case because that one's another like... He, like, definitely makes it with a girl, even though he's, like, a stumpy little no-legs monster creature. It's intense.
Ew.
But Basket Case has, like, 4 movies, and he, like, grows up through the movies.
Ew! Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's super gross. Lumpy. But I think that's...
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if these ones, if the body horror aids the fear so much as it aids the sort of just weird ick factor.
You're... Okay, sorry. Oh, God, we need to stay on track, but... So we did definitely talk about body horror. Do we want to talk then about like the quote unquote invisible monsters in each of these movies?
Yeah, I think invisible monsters is a really, really powerful theme in both of them. It's just the difference between what are they. In From Beyond, the invisible monsters are very literal.
Mm-hmm.
But like they're on the other side of a dimension. You can only access them via the resonator. In Society, they're very metaphorical. Did you just look up Basket Case?
I did. I regret everything. Ew.
What?
All right, now I have to look it up.
Y'all motherfuckers weren't prepared for me to bring Basket
Okay,
it
kind of
but I don't
like,
get grossed out. So
there's like this movie called It's Alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like this alien baby. Kind of looks like that. Gross.
Reminds me of I can't think of his name right now.
Oh my God, are you looking at like the first one with his like bigger forehead?
Hey, you guys.
Yeah. Okay, yes. It kind of looks like that.
That's what I... what's his name?
You guys are so fucking mean.
That's how he sounds. We're not making... Ew.
That's what he looks like.
There's this fucking... Oh, my God. I found him earlier, but when you were describing him, kind of reminds me of... There was this, like, monster. I call him the bubblegum monster because it was, like, this monster, and I think it was, like, Ghost Rider monster, which I thought was, like, almost too intense for... a kid's show, but it was like this monster made out of bubblegum, and if you started chewing his gum, you got consumed by his gum. It was weird. Anyways, let's continue with
you know what, like that's definitely body horror, but now it's made me think of like The Stuff, in which if you ate the stuff is that the bubblegum monster?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's it from?
From Ghost Rider, which was like a kid's fucking like show.
That thing is terrifying.
It is absolutely. It gave me nightmares for years. This is why Becky doesn't watch horror movies.
Yeah.
But it's like you chewed gum and then you would be like covered in gum to the point where like you probably couldn't breathe. Like head to toe in gum.
Mm-hmm.
Like this gooey pink stuff. And it was like, I think the whole point was to like suffocate you or something. And I remember the friends of the like one of the people that got consumed by gum was like, keep chewing. They had to figure out how to defeat this bubblegum monster, but it scarred me.
Oh,
I just ended up on Bustle's
fucking
these TV episodes terrified 90s kids everywhere.
Yes.
Somehow I was not involved in that terrible show. Well, if it was on cable, I wouldn't have seen it, so we didn't have cable.
I don't even remember. I only watched two channels, and it was Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
Yeah, that's cable. We didn't have that. Yeah. We just had antenna TV.
It might have been on a different show, like different channel, but I remember like that's what I grew up on. And I was young enough to watch it at my dad's house. Like I think I lived with him. So it was like before I was like in elementary school for sure. Really young. Probably shouldn't have watched it.
Yeah, Attack of the Slime Monster from Ghost Rider. Is PBS betrayed me when Ghost Rider introduced Gooey Gus.
Yeah.
Gooey Gus.
A horrifying slime monster with bulging eyes and teeth. Why did he need teeth? Who refused to die even when boiled. Nothing would stop the purple abomination from stalking the Ghost Rider team or leaving me with reoccurring nightmares. Yeah. The Tale of the Laughing in the Dark from Are You Afraid of the Dark, which had this freaky clown.
Yeah.
It's freaky.
I remember Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
I remember that.
I remember being old, 2 years older than my brother, and he'd be able to watch it and be like, oh, that was dumb. And I'd be like on the verge of
what
tears.
About Tales of the Crypt? No, whatever about that. Night of the Living Dummies. Oh. Goosebumps.
That's one that made me absolutely hate dolls. Nope. Can't do it. Slappy or whatever the fuck his name is. Nope.
I think that was we used to have the Goosebumps books and they scared my brother so badly we had to give the books away to the library.
Oh wow.
But I think it was the dummy ones that scared him the worst.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then I had some other, like, they were called Scary Stories, but they were supposedly real.
Mm-hmm.
Like more paranormal.
Oh yeah. I was Scary Stories.
I was more into the paranormal stuff than I was into monsters.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, though. That was really
popular.
I never
watched Ghost Rider, but that slime monster is terrifying.
All right, so we just kind of compared and contrasted society and From Beyond, and we found some similar themes that we were able to kind of pick out and focus on, such as special effects, leaning into the body horror, sex, mental health, and then the invisible monsters, the class of society, and the actual literal invisible monsters of From Beyond.
So, like, at first I really didn't think that these two were gonna be very relatable, but they kind of are, and I'm kind of glad that we...
Can you repeat what you said, because I was talking over you and that's gonna... Oh no, we're separate. Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
we hope we
would
pray.
We say fear would have been another underlying...
Well, I mean, fear is an underlying one in all of them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because we didn't really...
Well, and I think it's sort of important about how these specific themes come together to create the fear.
Yes.
You know, so we talked a little bit about Whitney's paranoia that runs throughout the entire movie, but we only sort of glossed over Crawford in From Beyond's paranoia, and he's not paranoid. He's right.
Right.
You know, they want you to think he's a paranoid schizophrenic, but he isn't. And just like Whitney is not paranoid, he's right. Right. You know, and how it's like, how do you, what's more terrifying than knowing you're right and knowing that these things are out there, these invisible monsters you can't see, and trying to get people to see them with you. And oh, that's right, you finally get to see them, and what does it do? It costs Blanchard his life. It costs Bubba Brownlee his life. So yeah, both these people
and
get to die.
Robert Crampton's character's sanity, because she ends up in...
Oh, so crazy. Oh, that's a special effect we didn't mention, was her fucking gross ass kneecap. Ugh. I just really wanted to see Becky's face get
she jumped out of that.
Yeah, what I sort of like about
Cuckold Crawford.
Oh my God.
You really can't help yourself. You're just full of jokes. Stuart Gordon has a very artistic way in which he tells stories and a formula you can sort of recognize very easily. And so does Brian Usna, but they're very different. Brian Usna is, you know what? Brian Usna's Cooper.
Oh shit. Well,
puerile sense of humor. Everything's a dick joke. How many tits can you put in a fucking thing?
Okay, not maybe minus the tits, because I hate when people are sexualized for no reason, but
Not sexualized. It's there for a laugh.
No, I know. I'm saying in this instance, it doesn't apply, but like certain movies, that's like, you can tell it's really forced, and you're like, this is not necessary.
Brian Usna has a dick in his brain. Like,
I'm pretty sure his brain is shaped like a dick.
Yeah, definitely
is. He's
got
a dick brain.
Absolutely.
Or maybe his brain's in his dick.
Either way, he wants to do them as overt and sort of
Brian Usna
classless. There's an utter lack of class to it.
Can you imagine how many dick jokes would be going around in the room if Brian Usna and I
were? Oh my God, I do not want to be in that room.
No, you guys would get ridiculous. He'd love it. Stuart Gordon, on the other hand, like all of his movies, even Castle Freak, which doesn't have the levity I'm used to seeing in a Stuart Gordon movie. But all of his movies have a sort of theater quality to them that's really enjoyable. You get some of the jokes, like Pit and the Pendulum. I really expected, because it's a movie about torture, I expected to not enjoy it. I'm always afraid to watch the Stuart Gordon movies, like the first time. So the first time somebody was like, you're going to watch From Beyond. And I was like, oh, Pretorius looks so gross. And it's supposed to be sort of sexy. Oh, it's going to be so uncomfortable. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, this is okay. This is enjoyable. And then you watch the side and you're like, this is what I was afraid of. That's maybe where I was trying to go with this, you know. And then you see Reanimator, which has got some levity. And you're like, oh, this is an okay mad science movie. And then you watch Bride of Reanimator and you're like, oh, Brian Usna. God damn it. What have you done? Everything's a dick joke. They're not, but you know, you sort of have the same same response. And I felt that way about From Beyond, and I felt that way about Pit and the Pendulum, where I expected it to be sort of scary. And then, no, it's a Stuart Gordon movie. It's just spooky themes, some really choice editing to sort of drive the points home without being as overt as a Brian Usna film.
Yeah.
Like, I want my money back for Faust, Brian Usna. I want my money back.
I have yet to see that one.
It, again, features some of Brian Usna's favorite things, which are tits and...
Typical man.
Sticky, yeah.
Makes sense now.
And there's Society, and again, Bride of Reanimator, which also features tits and sticky, and that one at least has blood. We're spiraling out. Do we want to do fun facts?
Yes.
All right,
so some fun facts.
I found some fun facts for
I'm going to feel the need to interject with facts every time you're going.
Please do, because I just found what was on IMDb.
Beautiful.
I'm not going to lie.
Carolyn Purdy Gordon did the food in From Beyond. It was great.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. I know, I actually was, when I was watching it again today, I was like, that food does look tasty.
Beef stew and dumplings. The biggest dumplings in the world.
I was going to say, those are some big-ass dumplings. I was wondering what the fuck that was. Yum. All right. So, some fun facts. I'll start off with maybe some boring-er ones. That's not a word. From Beyond, we have... So, we all know that this was based off of an H.P. Lovecraft story, but did you know that the story it's based off of is only 7 pages long?
I did know that.
Okay.
Of course you fucking did. You would have. Asking the audience, goddammit.
I'm sorry. That was a rhetorical question. Did you know that it only covers the beginning of the movie?
That's hilarious, and everything else is...
Just Stuart Gordon going ham.
Awesome. I mean, I kind of figured after I read 7 pages, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it just covers a guy going to visit his friend Crawford Tillinghast, who's building a resonator. And by the end, it's like, oh, he's built a resonator and gone insane. And that's the end of the story.
And then,
wait.
Oh, what?
Tillinghast went to Pretorius or
Pretorius? No, Pretorius is an... original character. That's my angst.
Got it.
You named him, you created a character mm-hmm. for this story, and you named him Pretorius on purpose. So what are you trying to say about this character by giving him the name of a very famous mad scientist who's also a queer character? What are you, like, it's overt, Stuart Gordon. What's the message you want me to get? That queerness and sexual perversion go hand in hand and lead to people's downfalls? I want Stuart Gordon, please come to the mic. You can't. RIP, but come to the mic. I would like to have a discussion with what you want me to take away from Edward Pretorius as a character with a name like that.
Well, we'll get a Ouija board and summon him for you.
If we could summon Stuart Gordon.
Yeah, no, I don't fuck with that. I was just kidding. Because I would never do that. I've never touched one. I don't plan on it.
I almost bought a Ouija board today.
Oh my God, yeah, well, no. I would not fucking do that. Sorry.
They sell them at Cheapish.
No.
I was just kidding. But
what?
I don't fuck around with that shit. Nope.
I don't do pendulums. Nope. I don't do fucking...
Me either. Fuck that.
Mm-mm.
Fuck that.
That's too real. That's too actual. Shit will get fucked.
Yeah.
You know there's a Ouija board in the house, right?
Yeah, but
yeah, but we're not touching it. We're not playing with it.
You're owned by like Bandai.
Yeah, I know.
Or something.
I know. Or what's the one that does Monopoly? Yeah,
Hasbro? KB Toys.
Oh.
I think it's
KB Toys. Owns Ouija boards.
Okay.
That's weird.
Anyway, as you were saying.
Dr. Block is named after Robert Block, the author of the novel upon which Psycho 1960 was based, and a friend of writer H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh.
The resonator sound effects were later sampled in the song Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys, which now that song's just going to be in my head.
I know.
And apparently originally studio executives opposed the casting of Barbara Crampton as Dr. McMichaels because they thought they thought she looked too young and she wouldn't be believable as a psychologist, which, I mean, when I was watching, I was like, she was kind of young. And I felt like when they were putting the suit on her, it was definitely like,
but here's the thing. You can be a psychologist at like 25.
I know. So, I mean, it's whatever.
She's so, fuck yourself.
Stuart Gordon's awesome. And
ageist
he was,
assholes.
Yeah, and probably because, you know, the rapport that he had with her already, he insisted that she be cast, and so there she was.
Did you know that she picked out her glasses for that role?
Oh, you did tell us that.
Yeah, so she would be more believable. So she would be more believable, so she would look older.
Got it. Supposedly, according to Brian Usna, the production ran out of money before the effects on the finale could be finished.
Wow. There's another, there was an effect that was supposed to happen, like, when Crawford gets picked up by the lamprey.
Oh.
There was supposed to be a whole, like, little sequence that happens inside the lamprey where you get to see his hair come off.
Oh.
And so it would explain why he doesn't have any, why he doesn't have any hair.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they lost a day of shooting because the lamprey, when it got wet in all of that water, was so heavy they couldn't lift it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's a fun fact about that. So they lost that day of shooting, so they had to take that scene out. There was also supposed to be, like, when the resonator starts up and you start being affected by it, there was supposed to be, like, a big temple and a pyramid to go along with, like, the Shoggoths and all the things that were happening there. And you ran out of budget, so it's not in there. That sucks. I don't know if you need it.
Sorry, you can continue.
No, go ahead.
But that's kind of reminiscent of Hellraiser.
A little.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's definitely, like, if I hadn't chosen to do From Beyond and Society because of the Brian Yuzna body horror aspects, I would have done From Beyond and Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Because they both deal with finding a dimension in which you can experience maximum sensation.
Pleasure, yeah.
Right. So they're both definitely.
Yes.
And they have that sort of supernatural element in there where you have, like, how do you access the dimension? Mm-hmm. The resonator does it with sound. Hellraiser does it with a that magic box.
You finally just saw it for the first time.
I did.
I'm so excited for you.
Yay.
Such sweet
and then
suffering.
The sound effect that was used for the opening and closing doors in the hospital at the beginning of the film were reused from Star Trek.
What does it sound like? Bzz, bzz,
I don't quite remember.
Oh, okay.
I bet that's it. If it's a sound from, is it from Star Trek, or did they reuse it in Star Trek?
It says from, but I think it might be the other way, because
so it's probably the original series from 1960.
Okay.
Door sound.
Hey, that's funny.
Look, whatever.
Whatever.
You don't become...
Who's your favorite character from Star Trek?
You gonna make me say Wei Yun.
It's like saying bag.
You know, I liked Wei Yun before I liked Jeffrey Combs, and that's the dangerous part, is then you discover that you have these interests like Star Trek and bad horror movies, and Jeffrey Combs is like the center point, and you can just go completely ham. You could just live in that space and be obsessed with bad horror movie. Well, not even bad horror movies. Good horror movies with a low budget.
Yeah.
And all of those. And like I said, it's been like a whole year. If I make it to the end of January, January 22nd, it will have been a year of just marinating in the Combsverse, the Jeffrey Combs extended H.P. Lovecraft universe, cinematic universe.
So I have some fun facts about Society, too. I mean, also Society, also. I don't want people to think there's a second Society.
There's a second Society. Society 2?
Holy shit.
Society 2.
I'm pretty sure, like,
Return of the Shunt.
Oh.
Damn it.
Bill That'd Whitney a is a one. Man in his middle ages. He's now reproduced with girlfriend Clarissa. And he's their first fine. Child, their first child is about to undergo her coming out. Dun-na-na-na.
No.
No. No.
Brian Yuzna, call me.
Oh my God. All right. While shooting the infamous shunting scenes, Brian Yuzna would put a sign on the stage door that read, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here."
That's just how you should feel if you're doing a Brian Yuzna film.
Hardy har, Brian Yuzna. And then the Brian Yuzna cited the spiral staircase and Rosemary's Baby as the film's biggest influences, particularly in terms of paranoia as a major element. So it seems like he was...
He wanted you to feel paranoid. He just wasn't very good at not giving away the ending because he was so excited about it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would be too, especially with how much money they probably spent on that. I don't know.
Screaming Mad George is an artist.
Yeah, okay. So then the hospital that was used for the exterior shots is the same hospital used in Halloween 2 from 1981. Billy Warlock's father and actor / stuntman Dick Warlock played the Shape or Michael Myers in Halloween 2. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
And then there was another really cool one. Oh, the film was shot in 5 weeks. I think we talked about this one.
For Society? How fast was it From Beyond recorded? Wasn't it pretty quick?
They're all really quick.
Yeah.
Because you have to, like, turn the movie out before you run out of your budget. And you're paying, like, one of the things they don't really talk about is, like, what does it cost to keep your actors in fucking Italy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean... Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton all talk about what a great time they had in fucking Rome. And they stayed in these great apartments and everything was nice. And they got to go see all the sights. So it's like, you're there, you're working on a movie, but you're also like living in another country. And that costs money.
Maybe that, maybe the movie was $2.5 million in Italy, but like the other $2 million
it's just
was just supporting the actors.
Probably.
And the crew.
I don't know.
This was so Jeffrey Combs could get some culture.
And that Brian Usna directed this film by agreeing to direct Bride of Reanimator, which Lise mentioned earlier, but Usna's only stipulation for Society was that Society be filmed first before Bride of Reanimator. So he literally did this in 5 weeks and then went and shot Reanimator right
I'm
after.
Sort of grateful because I feel like if
they
Bride...
did that one in Italy too, right? And or no?
No.
No, okay.
I think that one was in the States.
Oh, okay.
But if... So Society is the
already
direct...
already in Italy, and that's how he ended up in...
No, sorry, wasn't that Cellar Dweller? Cellar Dweller was in Italy. And Jeffrey
Something
Combs just finished...
Was...
We just talked about this.
Oh, that's why I'm getting confused. You're right.
Why? It was Stuart Gordon was shooting Robot Jocks, and that's why he could go do Cellar Dweller.
Oh, okay.
And then...
Robot Jocks. I don't remember that part. I just remember he was finishing up a movie... And then he was able to...
He did a cameo.
Do
Robot
a quick
Jocks.
Cameo.
Look, I can't keep straight how many different things... Like, there's so many movies at this point. The only person I've seen so far that I've considered watching their entire, like, movie catalog that's longer than Jeffrey Combs is Lance Henriksen. And that's because Lance Henriksen just works and works and works.
Oh, From Beyond was 1986.
Yes.
And Cellar Dweller was 88. And then Society was 92. Okay.
Right.
So,
but I feel like, I think I was talking about Brian Usna doing Bride of Reanimator. I'm kind of glad that Society was his directorial debut.
Yeah.
And not Bride of Reanimator. Because Bride of Reanimator has some editing and shooting choices that I don't think are the strongest. But I think it would have been worse if, and I would have been angry if it would have been worse.
Yeah, it did.
Because he was learning what he wanted to be and be able to do as a filmmaker. So good job doing Society first, Brian Usna. So From Beyond is obviously a horror movie. I don't know if Society really, if I would almost count it. It's sort of just weird.
I think it's because there's so much body horror. Is that why?
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of because I was kind of thinking of the same thing. I'm just not really, it's like a really weird horror.
Because it's very like not brightly lit. Mm-hmm. It does, it sort of gives the game away at the beginning. So the paranoia is... present, but you as the audience don't really feel it.
Well, maybe it falls under psychological thriller more.
Oh, that could be.
Than horror.
Yeah, I would buy that for a dollar. But then of course you do, again, you have the gross body horror element, which I think, I guess, shunts it right back into the heart. I couldn't help myself. I'm a child. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I hate you so much. Asmr. ASMR.
I hope you're going to cut that out.
Yeah, God, me too.
Absolutely not.
Well, I feel like we have to give the backstory if we're not going to.
No.
Okay.
They don't get the backstory.
No. Ew.
Are you kidding?
All right.
Let's go on to this day in horror history.
Well, I have two more.
Oh. Hurry up.
So, I promise they're quick. Billy Warlock actually graduated from the Remington...
From Miskatonic Unit. Oh, sorry.
Excuse me.
No, that's
no.
Jeffrey Combs.
Billy Warlock graduated from Birmingham High School that was used in the film a decade earlier.
Oh,
so he actually went
right.
to that high school.
Okay. Yeah.
And then...
I like that it's a decade earlier.
Yeah. He's old. But
he's
still
fine.
Really
look at it, right? Yeah. And that the cast... This is one of my favorites because I like Friday the 13th. The cast features two alumni of Friday the 13th, Heidi Kozak, who was in Part 7, New Blood, and David Wiley, who appeared in Part 3, 3D, which was probably one of the worst Jason movies, but anyways, I digress.
Ooh, I have a weird fun fact from From Beyond.
Oh. I'll murder you.
I know. The slime that you see
God.
In
Is
all
it the Nickelodeon slime? Oh, sorry.
No, it's a food thickener. It's what they put in your McDonald's shake. You get
Yum.
To eat the From Beyond slime anytime you get a shake from McDonald's.
That's wild and gross.
It was also very cold. That's my there's my From Beyond fun fact.
Oh, it was cold.
What are we doing for today in horror? I don't remember what we decided.
All right, now for this day in horror history.
So you get Scream 2 in 1997, Godzilla and Mothra, The Battle for Earth in 1992, Rebirth of Mothra 3 in 1998. However, the big one is the original Wolfman in 1941 released.
Nice.
December 12th. I really like the Wolfman. I'm a big classic movie monster kind of person. So it's not my favorite of the classic movie monsters, but it's definitely up there.
Mm-hmm.
A stick with a silver handle. Gotta love a classic. So if you would like to get more familiar with the titles we just discussed today, both of these movies, From Beyond and Society, are available for streaming on Tubi. Side note, most of Jeffrey Combs' movies are available on Tubi, which is where a lot of people are watching them. We love Tubi. Give us money.
All right. And that's it for episode 3. We'd like to apologize for getting it out a little bit later than originally planned, but that's just life.
I had to make a turkey, and I'm going to talk about this in our next episode, about the trauma
of stuffing a turkey.
I'm not going to talk about it now because next week's episode, or not next week's episode, the next episode, episode 4, is going to feature Thanksgiving and Silent Night, Deadly Night for a very special holiday special.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of excited because I haven't seen any either of these, but I've definitely heard all about Silent Night, Deadly Night. And
I've heard all about Thanksgiving.
There we go.
And seen it.
Like I said, I'm super prepared to air all of my trauma after Thanksgiving. And this turkey, I can't.
Thanksgiving is one of those movies that just gets better as it gets worse the more you watch.
I don't know. And that'll be next time on Psychotronic Underground.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.